Thank you, Emily, and good afternoon, everyone. My name is Keith Fuller. I'm a soil scientist with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada at Kentville Research Centre in the Annapolis Valley of Nova Scotia, so right on the East Coast. So the topic today is the denitrification rates under typical dairy rotations in Atlantic Canada. I'd like to acknowledge the contributions of all my collaborators and co-authors, as well as the technical assistance of a host of co-op students from Acadia University, which is also close by in the Annapolis Valley. So the objectives of this six-year study were to compare growing season denitrification rates in perennial hayfield and corn soy wheat rotations with liquid dairy manure as principal nitrogen source, and then to quantify differences in these rates arising from tillage practices within rotations, and also to quantify the effect of major parameters on soil denitrification rates. Experimental site and soil. As mentioned, we're in Kentville in Nova Scotia. A glade, sunbrick, or bunisol, locally known as the Burt. Imperfectly drained, it's coarse loamy, upper soil material, fairly high saturated hydraulic conductivity, so it takes water well. Firm, coarse, loamy, glacial till subsoils, and it's tile drained, just like many of the soils in Nova Scotia because of the very high rainfall that they have there. And the site is situated on a very slight slope. Just a few pointers about the climate there. Annual precipitation of 1,150 millimeters. A fair amount in the growing season. July max is 26 degrees Celsius. Fairly low on the corn heat units, and January daily max is minus one. So short cool summers and long cold winters. The experimental design, randomized complete block, three treatments and three replications, and each experimental unit was a 12 by 100 meter drainage plot. The experimental treatments were a perennial hay field rotation, timothy and brome grass, with liquid dairy manure as principal end source applied in the spring, a corn soy wheat rotation with till, also with liquid dairy manure, that was tilled in after application, and a corn soy wheat rotation with no-till practices after the application of the dairy manure in the spring. So just a quick table with the application rates. The target rate for liquid dairy manure application was 175 kilograms of N per hectare, and that we applied in 2007, 2009, 2010, and 2012. And that was to coincide with the corn and wheat years over the six-year period. In the soybean year, we didn't apply any liquid dairy manure at the site at all because it was impractical to apply to the perennial hayfield plots only. So in 2008 and 2011, there was no liquid dairy manure, and there was supplemental ammonium nitrate fertilizer applied to the perennial hayfield at around a target rate of 50 kilograms of N per hectare. The monitoring periods, so we had six growing seasons, and we defined the growing season as starting on the first day of the fourth week in April until the 31st of October, so a fairly short growing season of 193 days. The sampling procedures for denitrification measurements. We used undisturbed soil cores that were 100 millimeters in length and 65 millimeters in diameter with perforated casing. And the cores were taken in the uppermost soil layer. And duplicate cores were taken for each sample event from each experimental unit. Sampling frequency. In 2007, we had 8 intervals, so 9 sample events. And we bumped that up in the subsequent 5 years to 15 to 16 intervals per growing season at a 12-day interval. Just some shots of the activities. So in 2007 and 10, we had corn and hayfield rotations corn alongside the hayfield rotation with liquid dairy manure. 2008 and 2011 was the years we grew soybeans, so the hay field did not receive liquid dairy manure, neither did the soybeans. And 2009 and 12 was the spring wheat, as well as the hay field with liquid dairy manure. So just first a broad picture of the individual daily denitrification rate measurements by growing season. Over the 6-year course of the study, we took a total of 1,454 measurements. And you can see we had some growing seasons where denitrification rates were generally quite low, such as 2007. And in 2010, we had a very high year, in fact. So just to look at the effect of the rotation treatments on the mean growing season daily denitrification rates. So what we did is we simply took the arithmetic average of the sample events to calculate a growing season mean, and then we did an analysis of variance, log transformed, because the data was not normally distributed. And what I'm showing you here are the back transform means then, just so that they're easy to read. So in essence, what you can see that is in 2007, 2008, and 2011, the denitrification rates were lower in the perennial hayfield rotation. And when you take the combined means for the whole study, the 6-year duration of the study, they were also significantly lower than the corn soy wheat rotations. Within the corn soy wheat rotations, there were no differences in any of the years except 2011 between corn soy wheat till and corn soy wheat no till, which was a fairly surprising result for us. Denitrification rates were generally quite low. I think the maximum that we recorded was 27 in 2010 for the corn soy wheat rotation with no till, 27 grams of N per hectare per day, which is relatively low. That's just another depiction of the same results. So we wanted to look at the distribution of denitrifications across the seasons. And so what we did is we did a different grouping. We grouped the sample events into a spring, midsummer, and fall period, and conducted an analysis on those means, and what we found was that in the spring period, the denitrification rates were significantly higher in all the treatments when compared to the midsummer and fall periods in all the years of the study. And so this is just a bar graph to show that effect. You can see there in 2007, in 2009, 10, 11, and 12, the spring denitrification rates were significantly higher. The only exception really was 2008, which was a non-manure year. It was a soybean year. However, in 2011, which was also the soybean year with no liquid dairy manure, you can also see there that the spring denitrification rates are higher. So it seems to indicate that they can, and there is a possible carryover effect of the labile carbon and nitrogen constituents from one year to another, especially in a cool, short growing season like we do have in the Maritimes. So then we started to look at soil parameters that might be the drivers of the denitrification. And the first one is KCl extractable soil nitrate. So what we did, we combined the treatments, the fixed and random effects, and we just looked at the universal data set, and we plotted the KCl extractable nitrogen as the independent variable against the daily denitrification rate. And what you find is absolutely no correlation whatsoever with soil nitrate. But then we did a binning procedure where we sorted the pairs in ascending order of the independent variables. So without breaking them up, we sorted them in the descending order of soil nitrate concentration. And then we divided them, we binned all the results into 6 bins and calculated the averages. And when we did, we plotted the averages, we came up with a logarithmic a relationship of denitrification rate versus KCl extractable soil nitrate with a very high R squared value, which indicates that there's a threshold around about 3 to 4 milligrams of soil nitrate per kilogram of soil, which seems to be the cutoff for as a minimum requirement for soil nitrate for denitrification rates. We did a similar exercise with percent water filled pore space that we calculated from the water contents of the cores and the bulk density and an assumed particle density. And when we plotted the raw data, all 6 years of data, basically came across the same thing. But when we did the same procedure as with nitrate and arranged the pairs in ascending order of water-filled pore space and then made 6 bins, each with 243 observations, calculated the averages. When you plot the averages, again, you get a very high correlation of water-filled pore space with daily denitrification rate, which indicates an onset of denitrification at a water-filled pore space of about 40%, which is pretty much in line with other observations in the literature. A similar exercise was undertaken with the soil respiration rate versus the daily denitrification rate using the binning procedure, and we found a very good correlation between the soil respiration rate. So that would be an indicator of the respiration under anaerobic conditions because of the acetylene inhibition technique that we used. And then, as a matter of interest, just some of the hotspot observations. The highest measurements of daily denitrification rate was a value of 2,115 grams of N per hectare per day that we measured in the June of 2010, and another one of 1,985 grams of N per hectare per day. The interesting thing is that when you use the sample means with an interpolation exercise to calculate the cumulative losses for the growing season, it's a 14-day interpolation period. But then when you use those accumulated losses and divide by the number of days in the growing season, the means that you get then are quite higher. So I think that is the effect of these hotspot observations. So in summary, I can say that when liquid dairy manure was used as a principal end source, a perennial hayfield rotation gave rise to significantly lower growing season daily denitrification rates in 3 out of 6 growing seasons when compared with the corn soy wheat rotations, and significantly lower also over the 6-year study period. Within the corn soy wheat rotation, there were no consistent differences in mean growing season daily denitrification rates between till and no-till, and average DDRs over the course of the study were also not significantly different. Differences in mean daily denitrification rates between seasons were greater than differences between treatments within a growing season. And mean growing season daily denitrification rates were not lower in years when no liquid dairy manure was applied to either the corn, soy, wheat or the pH rotation, indicating the possibility of carryover effects of labile, carbon and nitrogen compounds from the manure. Daily denitrification rates were generally higher in the spring period, in the post-manure or the spring post-manure application period, when compared with the mid-summer and fall periods. I say mostly, but not always. A relationship between soil nitrate levels and daily denitrification rates in the combined data set demonstrated that nitrate levels above a threshold of 3 to 4 milligrams per kilogram were not really inhibiting for denitrification in our experiment. And as far as water-filled pore space was concerned, seemed to be the most important soil parameter affecting denitrification rates, a relationship between waterfall pore space and rates in the combined data set indicated a threshold of about 40% for the onset of denitrification at this site. And so finally, we conclude that summer precipitation appeared to be a more important driver of denitrification than land management practices themselves, such as the decision to apply manure or not to apply manure, the decision to till or not to till, and the decision about which land to use for which crop rotation, for example. And then finally, the study also points towards the importance of tile drainage in Atlantic Canada as a practice to reduce denitrification losses. And with that, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
We may have time for one really quick question. Otherwise, we'll have to save them for the break.
Sorry, yes, would you clarify, I didn't quite understand how you decided what the bin ranges were that you divided the denitrification rates up into?
We didn't want to create a statistical bias, so we divided them into we chose six bins because we felt we needed enough data points for a curve, especially if it was going to be non-linear, and then we put an equal number of observations into each bin so that there wasn't bias. And what we found was at the lower range of soil nitrate or waterfall pore space, there was still high waterfall pore space values, but there were just far less of them when compared to the low ones, and vice versa at the top range. So it was quite a revelation for us when we found that out, because, as I said, when you plot the 1,456 data pairs, X versus Y, there's absolutely nothing. But when you sort the pairs in ascending order of the independent variable, without breaking up any of the pairs themselves, and you divide them into six bins of equal number of observations, you get the data that is often reported in the literature.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.